We are glad to see everybody, and we're going to begin today with scripture reading, Psalm 122. So I'd invite you to take your Bible and turn to Psalm 122. So to be the people of God, we must gather. And so whether it was the Old Testament saints gathering at the Temple of Jerusalem, or whether it's you and I and churches now around the state gathering together in their local assemblies, or if it's that future great and glorious gathering in the presence of the Lord in heaven, God's people are a gathered people. So, Psalm 122, let's read the first verse together out loud, and then I'll read the following verses. Psalm 122, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord of God, of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. Let's join in prayer this morning. Father, we love you and we thank you that you have brought us here this morning. And I pray for each of us to worship you today in spirit and in truth. I also pray for our church that are still at home and watching this online. I pray that you'd be with them. I pray that you'd give them peace about the right time to come back and gather together with us. And I'm just thankful, Lord, for how you've been shepherding us through this time. And so we pray that today would be a celebration of your goodness, your love, and your grace. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. This morning, I just would like to also mention that it is Memorial Day. And we want to recognize and give thanks for America. And we're thankful, I'm thankful that this week, the President of the United States declared that churches, houses of worship, are essential gatherings. And thankfully, our governor recognized that as well. But that was a blessing to see. Also, it's important today that we remember all those who have given their life in the service of our country. And so some of you have friends or family members. You may have even served with some who gave their life for this country. And so we want to take a moment right now and we want to pray for our country. We want to give thanks for the sacrifice that has been made. Let's pray. Father, we come today and we are grateful for this country. And Lord, we need your touch on America today. We pray for people who are hurting across this land. We pray, Lord, there are many that are sick with this virus and they need your healing touch. We pray that you'd help them. We thank you, Lord, for all who've worked so hard to combat this, from frontline medical workers to rescue personnel. We just pray that your hand would be in their lives as well. And then for our whole country, for our community here, we think, and then also for the whole country, we pray that there would be a moving of your spirit among our people. We pray that there'd be a turn of heart to you and to know you. And Lord, you can take even the worst of situations and you can change people's hearts. So we pray that in years to come, we would be able to look back and we would be able to see this this COVID crisis that's taken place, and we would see what you did and what you accomplished through it. So, Lord, we pray that you would bless our country. And then we thank you, Lord, for those that we remember today on Memorial Day. We thank you for the soldiers, men and women, who gave their lives defending this land. Help us to always remember them, to always be grateful. We pray that you would be with their families, give them comfort and peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, join me in taking your Bibles this morning, and we'll go to John's Gospel, John chapter 15. And today we look at the last of the I Am statements of Jesus. If you've been following along for the last several weeks, we've looked at these I Am statements. And the last time we were together, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And we saw that a couple of weeks actually in a row, both in the statement Jesus made, but then also in the healing of the blind man. So today, we have the final one, and that's John chapter 15. In John 15, Jesus says this, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Verse number 3, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Let's read verse 5, the first statement together. Begin, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same branch. The fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Here is another key verse, verse number 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Let's pray again. Dear Lord, please help me today as I explain the scriptures. Give me your presence and your power. I pray that it would minister to all of our hearts and those who are watching as well. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So you may have picked up on the correlation between these added decorations that I have this morning and the topic for the message today. Hopefully you did. So now I understand this is not a vine. I do not have a vineyard at my house, although Charlie does, but I didn't ask him to bring anything. So what I have here is some apple cuttings. And so I have some apple trees. And during the last several weeks of in-home isolation, I planted how many apple trees? 24 new ones. So I'm excited about that. So I did not dare cut one of those, though. Those are okay. But the idea here is obviously the vine and the branches. So with the apple tree, we'll talk about the main stem and the offshoot branches. And so the idea of the passage is the more you are, the better the relationship between the vine and the branches, the more fruit is going to be produced. Over here, interestingly enough, this branch was taken from the same tree. But what you can't see probably from where you are is that the connection down here was lost at some point. And it doesn't take long for the connection to be lost from the vine, from the root of the tree. It doesn't take long for the connection to be lost before this branch gets withered, dry, and dries up. Many of you realize, well, your illustration isn't perfect because you cut this one. Yeah, I get it. So it's cut, and that's okay. But you know, I can keep this in water, but eventually, because this has been disconnected from the vine, eventually, as it can look as really pretty right now with the green, it's even starting to show a little bit of pain, I think, from what I did to it. But even this, give it some time, and it's going to wither, and it's going to dry up. So obviously, there are a lot of spiritual implications in this passage for us to think about. So once again, as we've looked at all of the I Am statements of Jesus, The theme of it really is our lives and living and life in general. And in each statement, we have been confronted to make a decision about who Jesus is. And also, we've been challenged to consider the quality of our life. Again, not to rehash all of the other messages, but in previous passages, Jesus says, I am come to give you life and life more abundant. So he keeps challenging people. And if there's one thing the message of the gospel should do, is to the unbeliever, it should challenge the unbeliever. And if you're here today or you're watching today and you're not a believer in Jesus, it should challenge you to think about the quality of your life. And ask yourself the question, do I experience the quality of life that Jesus describes? But then also for the Christian, what we see in this passage and we see throughout the scripture is even though we have entered into relationship with Christ, even though we are connected to the vine, there are times in our life where we do not experience the fullness of Christ's power and filling in our lives. So you have to ask yourself, all of us have to ask ourselves the question as we read about this abiding, and that word abide means to live. Really, the theme of the message of the vine is that there is an abiding life, living with Christ and living in Christ. Does this passage describe the way you live your life? And I have to ask, does this describe my life? Both for the believer and the unbeliever alike. Now, as we look at this, there are a few things I want to point out right from the beginning. First of all, we have to understand in the illustration, the vine is the life source. It is the life source of the plant. Now, also in our lives, Jesus says, I am the vine. By that, he is saying he is the life source. He is the life source. You can't truly live life until you know the Lord of life. What is the Spirit? What is the Spirit that animates your life? You see, every person, whether believer or unbeliever, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So what happens is in each of us, there is a spirit that animates our body. There is a spirit that gives us life. But for the believer, our spirit becomes united with the Spirit of Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit of God. And there's this union of us when we become believers in Christ, we are united with the true life and the true Spirit of God. That's why Jesus says this. Jesus says that I am, he doesn't say I am just the vine, but he says he is the what vine? Did you see it there? Exactly. He says, I am the true vine. So I'm going to put all of what I just said together now. There's a spirit that animates us. You are animated by some spirit. Is it the Holy Spirit of God or is it a spirit of the world? And the Bible sets those up. There's either a spirit of the world that gives us sustenance for life or there is the Spirit of God that gives us sustenance for life. And so if Jesus says, I am the true vine, then that indicates that there are obviously false vines. There are false vines. There are spirits in this world that people apart from Christ, and when we get away from Christ, even as Christians, there are spirits in this world that we allow to take control of us. Now, we're not talking about something dark and mystical necessarily, but there are things like this. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, the Bible says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18. Now the Lord is that spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Did you notice as I read those passages, the spirits that control us when we live in the world? And apart from Christ, he says there's a spirit of bondage. There's a spirit of fear. But the life Jesus describes is not a life that is controlled by fear. It's not a spirit that is affected by all of those things. It's a spirit that is in an abiding relationship with him. It's empowered by him. And it's characterized by power, by love, and by soundness of mind. Before I go to the final part of the message, the second half, I would like to challenge us in the times in which we live to think about that, to make a direct application to today. I'd encourage all of us not to live in a spirit of fear. How many of you realize that there's a difference between wise precaution and living in fear? I heard some people say that, well, I'm not afraid of any of this because I've got Jesus. Well, Jesus also said, that was kind of like when the devil said, well, Jesus, if you're the Son of God, just jump off of this. Jump off this tower. And Jesus says, don't tempt the Lord your God. So there's prudence and there's wisdom that God has given us. But there are some people that are genuinely and truly not just being cautious, but they are full of fear about what's going on. For the believer in Christ, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. So maybe you need God's power to overcome your fear. But that's not all. Power, and then what was the next one? Love. I think that Christians right now, more than any time, need to exhibit Christ-like love. if we went around the room, and I've done a little bit of this, I've been asking people, if we went around the room and asked everybody what their opinion is of the government's handling of the COVID crisis, boy, would we get a lot of different responses if we went around the room. A lot. Can I remind us as Christians, first and foremost, we represent the Lord Jesus Christ. We represent him. And can I encourage you? I'm all for, you should be politically active and you should speak out. So I'm not chastising anyone, but I do want to encourage us all to remember to show love. Now, love and truth have a symbiotic relationship, right? You can't love somebody if you don't tell them the truth. I understand that. But at the same time, in our spirit, in our demeanor, we need to be patient with one another. We need to be loving because that's what an abiding relationship in Christ produces. Power, love, and then the third one was sound mind. We need a sound mind. Just clear focus, clear direction, free from distraction. But notice a key verse here, verse number 8. You've got to see this, and this is where we'll transition. Verse number 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Also, I want you to look at verse number 4. So we have this responsibility to bear spiritual fruit, to be spiritually productive. But now look at verse number 4. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it what? Abide in the vine. Let me ask you something. This branch right here looks nice and healthy. Will this branch ever produce fruit? No. Well, there might be some experts in the room, one in particular that says, well, if we get a good cutting on here, we might be able to fuse this thing back on. But as it is, this branch will never bear fruit. This branch can say all at once, I'm going to be the best branch I can be. You can do that when you have kids in the room and nobody will, you know, it's like you get a free pass. You can use a goofy voice or whatever. As long as there's kids, it's okay. He said, I can be the best branch I'm going to be. And I'm going to produce as much fruit as I can be. I'm going to be a better branch than I was last year. I'm going to reform all my ways. No matter how hard this branch tries, will it produce fruit? No. Why? Because it has to be connected to the life source. Christian, as we hinder the working of God in our life, we know nothing can separate us from Christ. I understand that. If you're in Christ, Jesus said in here to his disciples in verse number 3, he said, you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. I think that verse 3 is a security verse to tell them, hey, you belong to me. You're not going to be one of these. You're not one of these cut off vines that's all withered and dried and being thrown into the fire. Okay? That's not you. You are in me. But you've got to bear fruit. And no matter how hard you try to be a good vine or a good branch, the only way you will produce is if you are in me. The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, etc. Because I always get them out of order, so that's why I say etc. All right? The fruit of the Spirit, all of those things are what he produces in us. No amount of religion or ritual or hard work is going to make it happen. The more we disconnect from the source of life, the more we are distracted from his life, the less spiritual fruit we produce. So let's talk for a couple of minutes here in the second part about this process of abiding in him. There are a few things that he talks to us about. And I'll give you three things, if you're jotting anything down or making mental notes here, there's three things that describe his working in me to bear fruit. First of all, there is purging a productive branch. Purging a productive branch. I belong to Christ. He has a purpose to accomplish in me. That is to bear fruit. But look what he says in verse number 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, who would that be? That would be the believer. We do. We have fruit-bearing capability. But if we are going to see God's fruit produced in us, it says here he's going to do what? He's going to purge or prune. And it just so happens that I brought with me my handy-dandy multi-tool pruner that I put to work sometimes with my fruit plants and my trees at my house. And so we'll do a little purging of the plant today. A little purging. Now, remember, this right here, this tree, just imagine that it's still connected. You can do that with me. Has one purpose. And what is that? Bear fruit. Bear fruit. Does it have to be the most impressive looking branch out there? No. Does it have to be the prettiest branch out there? No way. In fact, sometimes after pruning, how many of you ever pruned a tree and looked at? Now, there's some pruning you do for beauty and some pruning you do for fruit production. Sometimes you prune a tree and it looks, ugh. After the pruning's done, you could go at some of those trees and it's got some scars on it. He doesn't like to mess with the beauty of his apple trees. Okay, he's probably watching right now. And he's thought about it, but he likes the way they look. But you know what the problem with his apple trees are? No offense, Dad, sorry. The problem is the fruit production isn't that great. Now, he would get up and argue with me right now because he makes lots of cider out of it. And that's cool. But the apples are really tiny. They're really small because the trees need to be pruned. But the pruning process can make the tree a little ugly sometimes even. It can be a little painful. But in our spiritual lives, you and I, we sometimes need pruning. I know that I do. For instance, there are a few reasons that we might need to prune. Like right here, you probably can't see it, but there's a little piece right here that looks like it doesn't look too healthy. And what can happen is it's really small, but if I let a little disease in on that little spot on the branch, you know what'll happen to the rest of it? The disease will spread and do damage. So you have to prune for disease, and in our life, disease would be pruning for what? Yeah, for sin. Habits, attitudes. I know we've been isolated. Oh, let me snip that off. Sorry, branch, but that was for your good. That's what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. He prunes us for sin in our lives. Hey, we've been all by ourselves for 9 weeks for the most part. Have we stopped to consider that maybe during this time we've formed new habits, some hopefully good, but maybe some that were bad habits? And maybe there's some new pruning for disease that creeps into our life. That's not the only thing, though. And by the way, it's the Word here. He says you are clean through the Word. It's the Word of God and the Spirit of God reading the Scriptures that prunes us for that disease. And God is at work. He's moving through His vineyard. And we have to be willing, if He desires to do some pruning in our life, we have to be willing to let Him do that. But it's not just disease. There's something every spring about this time, and often it grows toward the base of it, but there's things that come up, and if you know what they're called, they suck all of the life out of the branch, and they are appropriately referred to as suckers. Suckers. Now, nobody in here would be a sucker, but you might have some suckers in your life. The suckers are perfectly healthy. They are strong. But what they will do is they will pull all the life. Do you know what I think of those things are, those suckers? I think, you know, and there's some here. These things, they're not going to produce fruit. They just need to come off. They got to come off. What? They're distractions in life. You know, Aaron was sharing the other night on our Zoom call. If you can get on that call, that's a great one on Sunday nights. But Aaron was sharing that, you know, some people are growing closer to God, spending more time in the Word of God, and some of us have just found more distractions in our lives, even in this time. Isn't it amazing how the devil can take simple things and use them as distractions in our life? Well, sometimes we need to prune those habits. Maybe it's excessive entertainment, you know. Maybe it's too much of this or too much of that. And the Holy Spirit, He shows us and He prunes them. But then also, there's not just the disease and the suckers, those distractions. But also, I know in my life, sometimes I just need to be pruned for strengthening. Now, you might not be aware of this, but there is a problem with this branch. Believe it or not, there are too many flowering buds on here. You're like, how can that be? Because what will happen is all of these flowers will produce fruit. But But what will be the result? Anybody know? It'll be small fruit. It won't be as productive. So sometimes there are even good things in our life. I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to come around and say, you know what? That's good, but you two here are kind of competing. It's really good that you want to be involved in that with your life, but is it the most important thing? Because you know what? I think I want this branch of your life, this stem of your life, to produce more. And so you may need to cut this off. You know, one of the things that we'll be able to do as a church now that we're reassembling is we'll be able to be careful about, you know, how we start to do things again and what things we give emphasis to. I think even just this service, to have all the children here, is a wonderful thing, don't you? I mean, maybe God will lead us to do that occasionally. Who knows? But the point is this, we need to evaluate our lives and everything that we do and day by day say, Lord, where should my emphasis be? Is there something that's, am I working too much? Probably not right now with everything going on, right? Am I taking on too many things in my life? The point is, we allow God, if we're going to abide in Him, there's going to be purging the productive plants. You've got to trust the cuts of the husbandman. And then you'll see here, and I'll move quickly through these last points, you see here also that there is a strengthening of the connection. Look what he says in verse 7, and there's a few things that describe. So it's not just the purging of a productive plant, but there's strengthening of the connection. He says in verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words. You see, we are strengthened through the word of God. And then he says, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done for you. So it's not just the word, but it's what else? You see it there? Prayer. This is how he's going to come. Some people say, well, I just have to abide in Christ. Yes, but it's not a passive abiding. Yes, of course, it's Christ doing the work, but it's not entirely passive. It's me allowing the means of grace to work in my life, allowing the word of God to speak, spending time in prayer. Not just that, but if you skip down, he says, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. He says, so shall you be my disciples. Now look at verse number 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. And now he says this, if ye what? Keep my commandments. There's the word. There's prayer. There's obedience. And then we already read over it, there's love. These are components of strengthening that connection, strengthening our love for the Lord, allowing the Holy Spirit to use the word, to use prayer, to use our obedience. Listen, can I challenge you with this thought? We cannot say, I have seen people and I've observed people in life emphasize certain spiritual activities, but then blatantly disregard others. There's a serious disconnect there. Because you cannot be growing in Christ, you cannot be growing in Christ if you are in disobedience to His word. And you can't emphasize one spiritual aspect of your life, disregard another, and expect God to produce fruit in your life. We have to strengthen that connection, the word, prayer, obedience, and then love. Love. So we've seen that in this abiding in Christ, that he purges the productive branch. There's strengthening of our connection with him. And then finally, he points us to what he's done, what Jesus has done in every I am statement. He points us to the fact that he wants us to enjoy our life in him. Enjoying life in Christ. And this is, he says this in verse number 11. Jesus, why are you talking to us about this? Jesus, why are you talking about the vine and the branches, obedience and abiding in him? Verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you. My joy. Not a joy that comes from the world. Not a joy that comes from the vacation that you get to take. Or not a joy that comes from something that you get to celebrate. Not that kind of a joy, but Jesus says, my joy, my inner peace, my happiness. He says, it's going to remain in you. Interestingly, the word remain is the same Greek word that abide has been throughout this passage. That this idea of abiding, that when you abide in Christ and you live in Christ, His joy lives in you. And he calls it, he says, that your joy may be full. That's a key word there, full. In other words, ultimate contentment. Ultimate contentment. Are you discontented? Are we discontented with some aspect in our life? See, we cannot, it is an impossibility to be in a close relationship with Jesus and to be discontented with our lives. In fact, anytime you feel envy or covetousness or discontentment, unsatisfaction in your life, anytime that creeps up, it is a symptom that we are not walking close to Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I want you to trade in your old life for a life that abides in me, a life that is fully content. We know, and it's interesting, look at this. You've got to see this. He throws this in here, and it really doesn't seem to fit with the passage. And I guess he uses it to segue, but I can't help but think what Jesus must be thinking about. Look at verse number 12 as he segues from this section to another section. He says this, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." 13. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Isn't it interesting that he puts that in there? If you know the story, this is the night before the cross. He's in the upper room. And he's telling them, I want you to abide in me. I want you to have this kind of life. And he says, what is going to happen is this. I am going to offer you this wonderful life, this abundant life, this abiding life. And what would happen is Jesus would give his life so that you and I could experience life as he truly intended us to live. He would lay down his life so we could pick his up. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So believer in Jesus this morning, believer in Christ, remember that right there, that what Christ wants to accomplish in you was purchased with his blood on the cross. He gave his life. It's not just that we can say, oh, you know what? If I abide in Christ or not, we'll just see how life turns out. No, Jesus gave his very life so that heaven gave its very best so that we could experience God's very best for us. So if you are a believer in Christ and you're not walking with him, just meditate on the love of Christ. Realize who he is and what he's done. And then if you're an unbeliever, either in the room or watching this morning, if you're not a believer in Christ, Jesus invites you. He invites all of us to trade a life of fear, to trade a life of bondage, to trade a life of uncertainty for a life of peace, of joy, and eternity. It's eternal life that Jesus promises us if we will put our faith and trust in him. As we all, let's bow our heads and we'll close with a time of prayer this morning. As we do that, if you are watching or if you're in the room today and you've never put your faith and trust in Christ, if that has never happened, would today be the day that you say, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I believe that you died for me and rose again, and I ask you to save me. Would you do that today, right where you are? Either in the room or watching online, would you call out to Christ, say, yes, Jesus, I believe you gave your life for me, and I want to abide in you. I will trust you as my Savior. And Christian, as we conclude with this hymn, As the Deer, would you ask yourself that question, am I longing for Christ? Am I seeking his filling? Am I seeking his presence? Lord, we love you and thank you for your word. We pray that you'd help us now as we reflect on this message. I pray that our hearts would be stirred. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. We hope that the message was an encouragement to you. If you are nearby, please consider being our guest this Sunday. For more information about Mount Greylock Baptist Church, or for answers about what it means to be a Christian, please contact us. We would love to hear from you. You can find more resources online at mountgreylockbaptist.com.